there's the external reality, but then we have this own internal reality going on in our head. Extroversion is the movement of psychological energy towards external factors and the outer world. Introversion is the movement of psychological energy towards the individual and inner world. About 2 months ago, I decided to make the move to Substack and make that my home base for everything that I create. And I'm really glad that I did, because not only has it provided the functionality that I need, it allows me to host my writing and also my music. I'm still working on hosting my podcast there. I tried it once and the way it transferred over, it like combined both Enter the Void, which was my first podcast, and then Question Everything, this one. It just like combined them and it was a huge mess. So I had to revert it back. But the reason why I'm bringing up Substack is I am also really happy that I switched, because I get access to some really great writing and it's teaching me how to be a better writer, but I'm also getting to connect with other writers on the platform. And, you know, these people are putting a ton of work into what they do, of course. So I came across an article the other day that totally opened up a new world of perspective for me on the topic of introverts and extroverts. So what I want to do today is share with you some of the things that I learned from this article. And then I actually want to go through it in real time and try to see what I identify with, because it's not just this binary thing. There's actually a couple different aspects to it. And it's also not fixed, and it's also not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's really just a guide. It's very similar to astrology in that way, how, yes, you can have a certain placement in a certain sign, but that doesn't mean that you're going to identify with every single aspect of that, because we are very complex creatures. So I think there's a couple levels of trying to make sense of reality. I think there's like the theoretical and conceptual level, where we basically just try to filter some of the chaos and make sense of it in a way that allows us to operate. But then people take it too far, and there's the simplification or the oversimplification of things. And I think that that happens with astrology a lot. I think that, you know, all I heard about was the sun sign for the longest time. I didn't even know it was called the sun sign. I just thought, oh, you are a Libra or you are a Gemini. It's like, no, that's just your sun sign. The other two big signs that impact you are the moon sign and the ascendant, or the rising sign. And then you have tons of other placements in different planets, and you have different like angles that affect things. And it's a lot. It's a lot to learn. But people oversimplify it because it's a lot to learn and it's a lot of effort to implement. So unfortunately, the same thing has happened with introverts and extroverts. So the concept of introverts and extroverts was actually coined by Carl Jung, who is a philosopher, a psychologist. He's not around anymore, unfortunately, but now that he's not around, people are really trying to understand what he was about and apply what he taught in their lives. So I'm going to read a couple things from this article, just some of the things that really stuck out to me. So the misconception about introverts and extroverts. And by the way, the reason why I want to bring this up and talk about it is A, so that I can understand myself better. B, so that you can understand yourself better. And C, because I care about the details. And there's some good stuff in here. Unfortunately, people put themselves in boxes. They do this with labels, and extrovert and introvert are also labels. And I've noticed people, including me, struggling with how to identify with either of these categories. And it's very similar to gender in that way, I think. You know, we have feminine and masculine energy. Our consciousness can introvert or move inward, or extrovert, move outward. But that doesn't mean that it's all the same thing all the time in every scenario. Everyone has a blend of feminine and masculine energy. And those that identify as male, they tend to identify with and possess more masculine energy, even if maybe their bodies aren't aligned that way. So, and this is, it sounds crazy coming out of my mouth, because I was not open to that idea a few years ago. So lots has changed. So the misconception about extroversion and introversion is that they're strict binary categories. Binary, interesting. With individuals being either one or the other, with a particular focus on sociability as the defining factor. So the actual theory that Carl Jung proposed is that extroversion and introversion represent two different orientations of psychological energy and focus. Individuals exhibit a blend of both attitudes rather than being exclusively one or the other. By the way, this article is coming from this girl on Substack. Her name is Alyssa Polizzi, and her publication is called The Artemisian. So I'm going to do a newsletter on this concept as well, and kind of my findings from it. In the newsletter, it'll be something even deeper than this, because I'm going to connect it to my astrological chart and see how the two compare. So that'll be really fun. It's releasing at the same time as this. So if you're done listening to this, or when you're done, you can go to my Substack at nolanvoid.substack.com, and you can check out the article, and you can also check out Alyssa's. So yeah, check out the Artemisian, and the article is "You're Not Just an Extrovert or Introvert." All right, so we went over the misconception and the actual theory of introverts and extroverts. So just to flesh out this misconception more, extroverts, this is what people think. Extroverts are outgoing, high energy, enjoy having extensive social networks, and like being the center of a crowd. Introverts are quiet, reserved, favor deep connections in relationships, and prefer limited social interactions. So to break it down simply, because these are two attitudes, what it really is extroversion is the movement of psychological energy towards external factors and the outer world. Introversion is the movement of psychological energy towards the individual and inner world. So all of a sudden that makes sense, because we know that there's the external reality, but then we have this own internal reality going on in our head. And so it is simply the movement of our consciousness in either or direction, either outward or inward, which is pretty cool. So there was one other part of this that really caught me. Okay, so when psychological energy extroverts, it is near boundless, orienting to interactions with the outer world, whether it's relational, conceptual, kinesthetic, or abstract, constantly moving towards breadth and expansion. The attention is first and foremost outward, with little focus paid to the person experiencing it. So this makes me think of the, there's a lot of people that have gone over this concept of like width and depth in life. Dan Coe is someone who illustrated this really well for me. He just basically was talking about how life is an iceberg and it's full of icebergs. Everything's an iceberg. So on the surface, it's very, very wide and broad. And then the deeper you go, the narrower it gets. I also see this just in life in general with certain people and the way that they approach life. So for instance, someone could be a marine biologist that specializes in the study of a specific species of jellyfish. Now, this person is most likely going to know more about that jellyfish than anyone else. However, it takes a long time to get to that point. So they need to remain in a very narrow corner of reality for a very long time so that they can go deep enough. So you choose to go narrow and deep. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. They're going to know more about that jellyfish than anyone else, but there's going to be so many things that they don't know about, that they know nothing about, because they haven't taken the path of breadth or width or expansion or whatever. And it's the same for some other people. So my struggle is the opposite. I am interested in so many different things that I don't give myself the time to narrow in on them and go deep. And so the likelihood of me becoming an expert in one thing is very low. However, I will have experienced and explored tons of different things, which to me is fulfilling in a sense. But to be honest, I am finding fulfillment in narrowing down with writing because it's helping me just connect with myself better and filter my thoughts. So I am choosing to go deep in some areas of my life. And that really brings me to this idea that the way that I see it is it's most likely, most fulfilling for most people to strike a balance. Find the things that you do want to go deep with and stay narrow and deep with those things, but just try some things. So basically find a balance between going broad, but also going deep. So that was an explanation of the extroverted psychological energy. And then when psychological energy introverts, it remains with the source or turns ever inward, seeking depth, adhering to internal structures. So the extroverted psychological energy, it orients to interactions with the outside world. This psychological introverted energy adheres to internal structures. So that could be based on values, logic, felt sense memories, or symbolic perceptions. And this is really important to them, no matter how the external world presses upon these boundaries or attempts to influence them. So this is why someone who identifies as an introvert, if people invite them out to hang out, they're like, nope, I was planning on reading a book today. And so they stay home. And I know that me saying that is like going against this whole idea that we've oversimplified it. But I'm doing that because that's a very like common example. So those were just some brief explanations. Okay, so this is where it gets fun. This next little paragraph says, going deeper into the theory, Jung postulates that as psychological orientations, extroversion and introversion modify the four cognitive functions, producing eight distinct varieties. So the four cognitive functions are thinking, feeling, intuition, and sensation, which makes a lot of sense to me. I'm curious what you think. So an example of these eight different varieties, you could have extroverted thinking or introverted sensation, etc. So the building blocks of the personality are a combination of these, led by a dominant function that begins differentiating in early childhood. So it's interesting that Jung classifies these as the building blocks of the personality. And that is similar to astrology and how your astrological placements are the building blocks of your personality. It's the things that influence the way that you operate in the world and with yourself. So below all this is a diagram, and it's a circle. And at the top of the circle, you have thinking. At the bottom, you have feeling. On the right, you have sensation. And on the left, you have intuition. So thinking and feeling are on the same axis, but oppose each other, which makes sense. And then sensation and intuition are on the same axis and are opposing each other, which is really cool because I've never really thought of it that way, but it makes sense. I've put thinking and feeling I've imagined them that way and having that relationship, but intuition and sensation. It's interesting because sensations, they come from a very specific source, and you can identify that source, and you can identify which one of your senses is sensing the thing. And then intuition is so much more vague and unconscious. So with all that said, what I would like to do is figure out what I am. And as I go along, you can think about this for yourself. And again, you can head over to Alyssa's article that I'm reading, and you can do this for yourself. So you can look up the Artemisian on Substack, and you can go to the very bottom, and it basically gives you the 8 different options. So here's how it breaks it down. It starts with thinking and then gives you the introverted and extroverted options. Then there's feeling, sensation, and then intuition. So I want to start with thinking because I've read this article, this is now 3 times, and I'm starting to get a better idea of what I identify with, but I still want to work through this out loud because that's what this podcast does for me, is helps me make sense of things. So thinking seeks an objective conceptual understanding that aims to approach reality in logical and rational terms, which I very much identify with. Some people, I don't know, everyone thinks, but I feel like some people don't think very much. So extroverted thinking adheres to established rational systems. So after each description, there is like in quotations, as if somebody identifies with that thing, what they would say. And it's like a phrase that they would identify with. So the phrase after extroverted thinking adheres to established rational systems is, I'm constantly referencing and adjusting to established theories and principles, even if it means reordering my own logical frameworks. Then introverted thinking adheres to internal logical consistency. I prioritize the logical structure of my ideas and their coherence, even if it means reinventing an established theory. So already, the thing that I identify with is introverted thinking, which is interesting. This is why this is so cool, because it breaks up the duality of extroversion and introversion, and it gives you these different like categories and modes of operation that you can apply introverted and extroverted thinking to, or energy to. So if you know me personally, you know that logical consistency is super important to me. That is like, I mean, you don't even have to know me personally. You can just listen to this podcast. I prioritize logical consistency. I want to make sure, and this is why if we disagree on something and you say something that I know is like makes sense, it doesn't matter what we're disagreeing on. It doesn't matter how much I want to be right. I value logical consistency over being right. And I also value logical consistency over established frameworks in the outer world, established theories and principles. So that is what led me to leaving my religion, I believe. And people have different things. Like some people leave because of the way that they feel. I left because of the way I thought. There was no logical consistency that I could find in the religion that I was raised in, and it absolutely drove me nuts. And so I couldn't handle it anymore. I had to leave. And it was only when I stepped back that I was able to actually make sense of what those inconsistencies were. So I identify as an introverted thinker, which is cool, because most of my life I was shy early on in life. And then later in life, I've learned how to, connect with people a little better and make people laugh and things like that. And then I just started identifying as an extrovert, but this helps add so much nuance. So I'm curious what you think you are. Are you an extroverted thinker? or an introverted thinker. So on to feeling. This is tough. I feel very deeply, but I put up a lot of barriers over time, and I'm actually just now getting to a point in my life where I'm allowing myself to shed tears just about anything. It could be happy, it could be sad, whatever. And it feels good to feel things. So feeling is tough for me. And I'm interested to see what I align with. So feeling assesses based on values, focusing on relatedness, agreeability, and moral considerations. So that's interesting because I've struggled to cry for a long time, but I've still been feeling very strongly about different things, especially this agreeability and moral considerations. So extroverted feeling assesses based on collective or group values. So for instance, I uphold keeping the peace and maintaining group harmony, even if it means compromising my own desires. Then introverted feeling assesses based on personal values. For instance, maintaining my personal integrity and authenticity is paramount, even if it leads to conflict or misunderstanding. So again, you don't have to, like, you aren't just one of these things. This is just where your psychological energy goes, and it's a way to categorize it. And you can change, you can choose where your psychological energy goes. So for me, I would say that for most of my life, I identified with this extroverted feeling, which is keeping the peace and maintaining group harmony, even if it means compromising my own desires. I mean, that is like just my entire life before. So it's funny when paired with this extroverted or this introverted thinking, right, which is prioritizing logical consistency, it's also funny when you're in a church, for instance, and you've identified with extroverted feeling, which is where you want to maintain the group harmony, even if it means compromising your own desires. So I didn't want to go to church, but I did it because I didn't want to cause problems. And I was a child, so like, what else can you do? So introverted feeling assesses based on personal values. So maintaining my personal integrity and authenticity is paramount, even if it leads to conflict or misunderstanding. I find myself in a weird in-between space with these two things. So on one hand, I would say that when I'm with a group of friends, I care about maintaining group harmony. I care about making sure that everyone's happy, everyone's getting along. I just want to make sure everyone's okay. And I will put myself in not the best position just to accomplish those things. I identify that extroverted feeling with my Libra moon. So your moon sign in astrology, it rules over your emotions and your emotional life and your emotional orientation. And this extroverted feeling, it sounds very Libra. If you know anything about Libra, the sign of Libra, the symbol is actually a scale. It's like a balancing scale. They just want to keep everything balanced and harmonious, and they don't want to rub anyone the wrong way. That causes them to often sacrifice their integrity and authenticity. And I've done that for a large portion of my life. However, as I've leaned more into my introverted thinking, where I'm prioritizing logical consistency and I'm prioritizing the structure of my ideas and their coherence, I am finding it more important and focusing more on my integrity and my authenticity. Integrity is still something I struggle with. And I hate to admit that, but it's true, because I would say that my Libra moon just is very strong, and I really want everything to be okay. And I want to make people happy. But I'm focusing more on this authenticity, because that is the thing that's leading me through to a better life. So I am okay with a little bit more conflict or misunderstanding in my life, especially with strangers, with people that don't know me. I'm gonna stand my ground on the things that I believe and the truth that I've learned for myself. And I'll still do it in a way that is conflict avoidant, but I'm also not going to just fold and be like super agreeable about everything. Like, I have opinions now. So yeah, I'm finding myself leaning more into the introverted feeling as well. But I will say that with people that I know, I tend to just focus on like group harmony and kind of compromising the things that I want just to like have people around or whatever. So it's a very weird in-between place. It will probably be fluid for the rest of my life. I don't see that being a thing that I can fully like lean one way or another, but I am finding more fulfillment as I focus more on the introverted feeling, which allows me to prioritize my authenticity and integrity. So that's how I feel about that currently. Sensation. So we've gone over thinking and feeling. Now we have sensation. Sensation perceives the material world through the senses, emphasizing practicality, tangible experiences, and somatic input. So I just got to say what that described, Tauruses are very sensual. It's a very sensual sign. Just this idea that sensation emphasizes practicality, because again, it's practical. When you hear music, you know that you're hearing it from the speakers and that it's entering your ears. It's very practical. It's very simple to break down. Intuition is more abstract. It's difficult to pinpoint where it's coming from and what it means. So Tauruses in particular are very much oriented with sensuality, not just sensations in general, but sensuality. So extroverted sensation orients to the immediate tangible details of the environment. For instance, I engage with the present moment and the sensory details around me, even if it means not taking past experiences into consideration. Introverted sensation orients to previous concrete experiences and internal somatic perceptions. I rely on my inner sense of past memories and experiences, even if it means ignoring new sensory information. Oh, this one is tough too. Feeling was difficult because I felt split between the two, and then sensation feels difficult as well. And here's why. When I first read this article, I immediately identified with introverted sensation, which is, again, orienting to previous concrete experiences and internal perceptions. So I rely on my inner sense of past memories and experiences, even if it means ignoring new sensory information. The reason why I identified with that when I first read this is because there are so many times where I look back, even on recent memories, and it's typically recent memories with friends, where I am not fully present. I'm like dissociated a little bit. Like my memory of the experience is like, I'm kind of in a tunnel mentally where like, I know people were around. I know that they were talking. I know that we were talking about stuff, but I was just like so stuck in my own like thoughts and kind of like replaying past memories and, things like that. And so I was not very receptive to the present experience and the present sensory information. So I was going to identify with that. I actually planned on that before I started recording this. But here's the interesting thing. Now that I'm looking at this from a lens of astrology and how, I'll give you an example because I've mentioned this maybe once or twice before in the podcast. And it's something that I'm still mustering the courage to talk about this more, but I don't want it to be stigmatized. I don't want it to be taboo. And I also want people to know that they're not alone. And I'm talking about the extroverted sensation, right? So The quote is, I engage with the present moment and the sensory details around me, even if it means not taking past experiences into consideration. The thing I'm really focusing on is that. So I love music, and sometimes when people are like talking to me, like when we're in the car, let's say, and we're like having a conversation, or we're in the living room and we're having a conversation, this could be with me and my wife or me and friends, whatever. I find it very hard to like focus on what they're saying when there's like, especially electronic music playing. Cause I love the sensation of electronic music. I love the structure of it. I will say a lot of it is getting pretty old because I don't think there's enough electronic artists doing something fresh and new. I think they're all kind of doing the same thing. I'm sure there are some, and I need to branch out. There's some I can think of right now. I just find it very hard. Like I have to like move my hands to the beat or something. And I find myself kind of like drowning out the other things. And I'm just locked into like the sensory details, especially the music. So that's an example of extroverted sensation, I think, but there's something even more prevalent. I've talked on this podcast before about my previous addiction to porn. And I'm bringing this up because I think that was a perfect example of, obviously there's emotional things that go into this, right? I was turning to porn because I didn't have love in my life. It's as simple as that. I was trying to escape the hollow feeling of not knowing what it was like to actually be loved. And now I do. I feel that I'm loved by a few close people in my life, and I feel that they love me properly. But I went most of my life not feeling loved, and it hurt. And I was turning to something to feel that love. But the thing is, I knew deep down that porn was bad for me. This wasn't even a religious thing. There was religious guilt and shame there that I think actually made it worse. Because with any addiction, shame causes you to turn to that thing even more. It's like, well, if someone's making me feel bad for this, like this thing makes me feel better, so I'm going to keep doing it. You could do this with smoking. Any addiction works that way. Shame is something that will keep you stuck in it. So the religious aspect was not helpful at all. But I did know deep down that it wasn't good for me. I knew that it made me irritable. It made me objectify people. It was messing with my mind. It just gave me brain fog. It took away my motivation and my creativity. Like this addiction was ruining my life. And I knew it, but I couldn't stop because it was the only thing I had. So in that instance, let's say I was, you know, like indulging in porn again, like in a certain moment, I was like fully engaging with that present moment and the sensory experience of it. But I was not taking past experiences into consideration. I was not able to pull away and go, yo, all of the times that you've done this before made you miserable. Like it made it worse. Why are you doing this? I could think that in my head, and it still wasn't enough to stop me. And if you struggle with addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So addiction like adds another layer of complexity to this, and I would say another layer of strength. But I would also say that as a Taurus, I maybe am predisposed to struggling with addiction because addiction is all about sensation. It's all about sensation. Addiction is not logical at all. There's nothing logical about having an addiction. There's nothing intuitive about having an addiction either. But the feeling and the sensation. So again, like with addiction, you're kind of avoiding thinking and you're avoiding intuition, but it's very much rooted in feeling and sensation. And so another example of the just tying this addiction that I had back to introverted feeling, where you where you maintain your integrity and authenticity. That was not happening. I was sacrificing that and trying to hide. And it sucks. So I find it very weird that the two things that I thought I would identify with, which is thinking and intuition, I'm actually like, man, sensation and feeling have like totally ruled me for a long time. I'm starting to think more now in my life, which is the whole reason why I write and have a podcast and all that. But yeah, that's it's very interesting. I would say with sensation, I'm still split in the middle. I have successfully broken my addiction, but it doesn't mean that there's never a pull. And not just with porn, but I mean other things too. Like I know I'm addicted to sugar currently. And it's not good, you know? Like I'm aware that I'm addicted to sugar, and I know that like logically and intuitively, I'm like, dude, I need to back off. Like I need to stop. It's giving me headaches. It's making it hard to sleep. It's probably not making my skin very good. It's obviously adding to, you know, some extra body fat that I don't need. But then the feeling and the sensation is just like so hard for me to pull away from. And this might not just be, I highly doubt that this is unique to me. I know that most people have some vice that they struggle with. So yeah, maybe that means that intuition is something that has been ignored for a long time. So let's talk about intuition. Intuition perceives via the unconscious, right? So thinking is about the conscious. And then intuition perceives via the unconscious, generating abstract insights, recognizing patterns, and making connections that go beyond the obvious. Intuition is tough for a lot of people. Some people, they operate like solely off of intuition. And some of them know what they're doing, some of them don't. But like, man, what a crazy way to just be already to operate off of intuition. So extroverted intuition draws from external stimuli to tap into the unconscious and explore many threads of possibility. For example, I thrive on exploring a variety of ideas and their possibilities, even if it means not delving deeply into any single potential. Then introverted intuition draws directly from the unconscious and internal symbolic or archetypal perceptions to make unified connections. I trust my inner sense of how things will unfold, even if it means dismissing various other potentials. So already, extroverted intuition is the thing that I identify with, and it's the pattern that I've noticed in my life. So I thrive on exploring a variety of ideas and their possibilities, even if it means not delving deeply into any single potential. I'm starting to dive deeper, but I explore a lot of different things. I mean, you can look at my Substack as an example. Most people's Substacks, they just have their newsletter articles, most of them. They just have their articles that they write. Well, I have my newsletter. I also have Cosmic Optimism, which is like poetic philosophical pieces. I also have Transcendia, which is not just one thing. It is a combination of a sci-fi fantasy narrative and ambient music, and then combining the two to kind of do some world building. I mean, that's a project that I've never actually seen anyone do it that way, which is cool. And I'm really proud of Transcendia, I think, more than anything else. And it's just beginning. I'm putting things out now. It took me so long to get to this point. And that's because I was trying so many different things. I thrive on exploring a variety of ideas and their possibilities. It's interesting because I think of my wife, and I think she would identify with introverted intuition, where she trusts her inner sense of how things will unfold, even if it means dismissing various other potentials. She has stayed true to her music career for pretty much 10 years now and has not wavered and has not gone in any direction. She hasn't quit. She hasn't like put nearly as much energy into anything else than that thing. I'm like the total opposite. I've put energy into a ton of different things, and that has led me to not have much to show for any of it. But I've tried a lot of things, and it has been fulfilling in its own way. Now that I've tried a lot of things, I've found the things that I want to dive deep into. And it's like our careers are just going to look very different. Like as we continue to build our audiences, and I mean my wife and I, as we build our audiences and just get to the point where we're doing it full time, like you will see that our careers just look wildly different. I'm going to be doing like a bunch of different things, and it's going to seem like I'm all over the place. And with her, she's most likely going to be doing just one thing, which is great. I think that we help each other in that way. So I'm like extroverted intuition all the way. I draw from external stimuli, which again, I think is probably something that as a Taurus, I'm just predisposed to tap into the unconscious and explore many threads of possibility. And this is also relatable to the Taurus sign, because Tauruses like stability and they don't like change. They don't like things to uproot them because they're very grounded to a fault sometimes. And so I want to make sure I try all of the options to find the best one. And the thing is, you'll never find the best one. You have to pick something or some things. You don't have to just pick one thing. But like, if you don't go deep into anything in your life, it's just everything's going to be surface level. And I don't think that that is fulfilling. So I want to review this really quick. And I hope that you were able to take some things from this and use it for yourself. And again, I want you to go to this article. I wish I could leave a link, but I don't think I can. So with thinking, I identify with introverted thinking, where I like it's logical consistency all the way. And I will reinvent or completely dismantle or deconstruct established theories and principles and prioritize my ideas and their coherence and making sure that they're consistent, which is what I've done in my life. And I'll continue to do that. With feeling, I feel myself caught in between extroverted and introverted feeling, where when I'm with a group of friends, or even like new friends, I tend to prioritize like upholding the peace and maintaining group harmony, even if it means compromising my own desires. But then when it's with strangers, I'm going to really just like, there's no expectations. And so I can just be me and I can be authentic and I can say what I want to say without worrying about them hating me because they're just a stranger. I don't have to worry about rubbing them the wrong way. Sensation is also another one that is interesting for me, where I feel split between the two. So I, with certain sensory things, I tend to engage with those things like very intensely. So for instance, with movies, I don't get distracted. Like some people just can't focus on a movie. For me, I'm locked in. I'm paying attention to every frame, every like musical decision. Like I just love the sensory experience of a movie. And more than TV shows, typically, because I also like the condensed narrative or the contained narrative of a movie. So there's that. But then with introverted sensation, when I'm with people, right? So when I'm in an environment that might require extroversion, I tend to like dissociate a little bit and I tend to be caught in my head replaying past memories and experiences. And I'm kind of ignoring the sensory information of, you know, what people are saying and their body language and how they're feeling. And it makes me feel so selfish, but I don't, it's not intentional at all. I don't ever mean to like not listen to somebody. So I'm caught between those two things. It's very interesting. And then as far as intuition, the extroverted intuition, like all the way, just exploring a bunch of different ideas and their possibilities. So it's funny that I have that I identify with introverted thinking and then extroverted intuition. It's very interesting. Yeah, what I'm going to do with the newsletter article that comes out at the same time as this on Sunday is I'm going to connect this more to my astrological chart and maybe give you some guidelines on how to do the same, because astrology is something that I'm still very cautious with. I want to be aware that there can be confirmation bias, just like with religion, just like with politics. I think with astrology, it's the same way. You can have this idea in your head that astrology is true and that it's flawless, and that anytime something happens to align with it, or something happens in your life where it might prove that it's true, you just take it as proof. I'm aware of confirmation bias and I'm being very cautious with astrology, but I will say that there have been a lot of synchronicities and alignments and just like things that have shown me that there's something to it. And so I can't ignore it anymore. And that's why I'm exploring it in my life. So I'm really grateful to, Alyssa, the writer of the Artemisian on Substack, for putting this article out, because it was very well written. She breaks down Carl Jung's philosophy and theory on introversion and extroversion very well. And I'm looking forward to using this framework to help me understand myself and others closest to me better. Thank you guys for listening. This one has been fun. Go ahead and check out my article on this and Alyssa's as well. And I will catch you guys on the next one.